The meeting of the, let's see, hold on here. The meeting of the State Board of Education will come to order. Ms. Birdsall, if you'd call the roll, please.
Board Member Flores.
Here.
Board Member Goff.
Here.
Board Member Mazanek. She is here.
Pardon me, she's here.
Yeah.
Where?
Maybe.
She just closed the door.
Magic
would
trick.
Walk right out.
Board Member Rankin.
Here.
Board Member Scheffel.
Here.
Board Member Schroeder.
Here.
Chairman Durham.
Here. The quorum is present. She's a yes. Hey, you're here.
Sorry, the lunch is here and they need a signature. I don't think I'm authorized.
It's above our pay grade.
Right.
Okay, let's see. The first order of business. Okay. All right, we'll wait for Ms. Birdsall. We are going to have an executive session for a few minutes first, so you might plan on just go ahead and leaving for a few minutes because we'll clear the room here in just a second. So, all right. Okay. Ms. Birdsall, would you announce the executive session, please?
Yes. Here it is. An executive session has been noticed for today's State Board special meeting in conformance with 246-402-3A CRS to receive legal advice on specific legal questions pursuant to 246-402-3A Roman numeral 2 CRS in matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes pursuant to 246-402-3A Roman numeral 3 CRS.
Okay, is there a motion for an executive session? And it's been moved and seconded that we proceed to executive sessions or objection to the adoption of that motion. Seeing none, that motion is adopted by a vote of 7-0. And we will be in executive session. Recess for a little bit. For the operation of a learning center. During this hearing, the board will be acting in its capacity to hear appeals and will hold the hearing under the rules for administration, certification and oversight of Colorado's online programs, 1 CCR 301-7. In particular, Rule 10.1 concerning the right of an appeal for refusal to enter into a standard memorandum of understanding. I'd like to ask the person chosen to represent each party enter your name on the record and tell us who you represent.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Kimberly Smiley, and I represent Hope Online Learning Academy. Here today with me.
Well, let me get the other appearance entered here. Let's see.
Good morning. My name is Brandon Ayer. I'm the legal counsel for Aurora Public Schools.
Okay, thank you. The role of the State Board is to consider only those issues raised in the notice of appeal. In relation to those issues contained in the notice of appeal, the board will apply the following standard of review following your oral argument. The board will decide whether it is in the best interest of the pupils, the school district, or the community to support the local board's decision to refuse to enter into an MOU with Hope Online for the operation of a learning center. Let's see, Hope Online will begin its presentation first. The parties have already submitted extensive written positions. A maximum of 15 minutes will be granted to each party for oral presentation. During this time, the party may summarize its written position. The hearing shall proceed as follows. Hope Online shall present its arguments. Aurora Public Schools shall present its arguments. The board shall deliberate, including questions to the parties, and I think we've decided we will not do questions to the parties during deliberation, and I'm going to try hard to minimize to minimize the questions so that you can take advantage of your 15 minutes. And let's see, we'll adhere to the maximum time limit. Each segment will be timed. You'll be notified by Ms. Bertzel when you have 5 minutes remaining for your allotted time. Are there any questions from the board or the parties about the procedures?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify, because there may have been a typo in the introductory script, that the standard is whether or not the Learning Center is contrary to the best interests of the pupil's parents, school district, community.
Thank you. Okay, we'll now call on Hope Online for your allotted 15 minutes. Ms. Smiley?
And we would like to reserve 5 minutes for a rebuttal.
Okay.
Thank you. As I said earlier, I am Kimberly Smiley. Along with me today are Alejandra Gonzalez, a 2015 Hope graduate, Jason Roberts, a parent of three Hope students, Dr. Michael Bautista, who is president of Hope's governing board, Heather O'Mara, founder and CEO of Hope, Dr. Janet Philbin, executive director of academic achievement, Heidi Shaver, literacy coordinator, and Dr. Susan McElonen, executive director of student services. Also in attendance are more than 100 parents, pupils, community members, and Hope staff here to support Hope. And as you know, you're here today to determine whether APS's decision was contrary to the best interests of these individuals, the pupils, the parents, the community, and the district. And before you make that decision, we'd request that you listen to some of the interested parties. And we submit that the decision of APS was wrong and it should be overturned, and Hope should be permitted to enter into an MOU.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome. My name is Heather O'Mara, and I'm the CEO and founder of Hope. And I'd like to start out by giving you a brief overview of Hope and the process that we followed. But most importantly, I'd like to make sure that Dr. Janet Philbin and Heidi Shaver have an opportunity to talk to you about Hope's academic achievement and some of the current data, and just summarize what's in all the extensive documents you've received. So first, the Hope model. So Hope was founded in 2005 as a multi-district online charter school with a mission to provide online education to historically underrepresented students. In 2007, Hope became a Douglas County charter school. And in 2013, we were divided into three schools, an elementary school, a middle school, and an AEC-designated high school. Our model is a blended online model. So we're a public, free, nonprofit K-12 charter school. And I guess at the center, Hope is the school. Our authorizer is Douglas County. And what's most important is our classrooms are at learning centers. And those are run by community-based nonprofits. Students attend learning centers 5 days a week, and they rotate between individualized online lessons and classroom instruction that's led by certified teachers, and it's assisted by community mentors. Our learning centers provide safe, supportive environments that are able to accommodate the diverse needs of our neighborhood students. We offer resources like a lunch program, as well as school-sponsored activities like sports, clubs, and field trips. And probably it's most important to understand that approximately 1,000 college and career-ready students, many of whom have reported being on a path to drop out before enrolling, have graduated from Hope. And we operate on four pillars: affiliation, attendance, achievement, and aspiration. And just to kind of give you some of the background of the MOU process, in 2007, Senate Bill 215 was enacted, and it requires online schools with learning centers to have MOUs with the school district in which learning centers are located. Since 2008, Hope has entered into standard MOUs, amended MOUs, or agreements to decline MOUs with 17 school districts. Right now, Hope serves 2,150 students from kindergarten through 12th grade. We have 29 learning centers across 11 Colorado school districts. This year, in 2015-16, we had 8 MOU agreements that were slated to expire. And we have been able to reach agreement on MOU renewals with every Colorado district with an expiring agreement, except for Aurora. Note that the final agreement with each district varies, though. And in some cases, it was substantially changed to reflect some of the needs and questions and, frankly, concerns of the districts in which we have MOUs. So Hope has actually operated learning centers in APS since the beginning, since 2005. In 2005, we had two learning centers in Aurora Public Schools, and they served 85 students. In spring 2008, we entered into an amended MOU, and in spring 2011, we entered into an agreement to decline. From 2011 to 2016, we sent annual updates to Aurora to let them know about what was happening at the learning centers in their districts. And those updates always included an open invitation for questions, comments, and any additional feedback. So this January, we began the renewal process. We sent our annual update on January 14th and basically gave the district a heads up that we were going to be seeking, that our MOU relationship was expiring. I'm sorry. Oh, is that better? I apologize. Usually I talk too loud and too fast. So in January, we submitted our annual update to the Aurora School District to superintendent. And in February 12th, we submitted an agreement that was pretty much identical in form to the prior agreement. On February 25th, we received a memo from the district stating that the district had some concerns and they wanted to have some questions answered before the MOU was renewed, and probably some changes in that MOU. In March, we met and the district requested select documents that were submitted. And on April 12th, despite back and forth emails, on April 12th, we had no additional meetings, no additional discussion, and we received a letter indicating that Hope's request for an agreement to decline would be recommended for refusal. On April 22nd, we withdrew that request and submitted the standard MOU. On May 17th, we presented at the school board, and on June 7th, the Aurora board unanimously passed a resolution to decline our MOU. Now, to tell you a little bit about HOPE, and specifically the learning centers in Aurora and the demographics. Over the past 6 years, the demographics of HOPE have drastically changed. Overall, our free and reduced lunch rate has increased from 47% to 79%, and our English language learners have increased from 12% to 43%, and our homeless students have increased from 2% to 9%, not unlike what's happened in many of the urban districts in Colorado. The demographics of our Aurora learning centers aren't much different, with the exception of our second language learners. 72% of the 438 students that attend our Aurora-based learning centers are second language learners. These families represent 14 different language backgrounds, but are primarily Spanish. I would like to commend our Aurora learning centers because they have done an amazing job of supporting families and supporting the mobility of, and because of that, the mobility of those students has significantly decreased. As you'll see, this has impacted their academic achievement. So you can read our UIP strategies, but I think what's most important about understanding our UIP is that we use our Unified Improvement Plan to guide our improvement planning, and we engage all of our stakeholders in that process. In the spring of 2015, HOPE applied to be a part of the turnaround network to CDE, and as part of that, Mass Insight did an analysis. We used the Mass Insight analysis and feedback to drive a lot of the strategies for our UIP. And much of the documentation that you have received documents the specific actions that HOPE has achieved and implemented over the past year with regard to our UIP. And with that, I'm going to ask Heidi Shaver and Dr. Philbin to talk about our improvement efforts.
Okay, my name is Heidi Shaver. I'm the literacy coordinator for HOPE Online. And prior to coming to HOPE, I worked nationally as a literacy consultant and school improvement consultant. Before that, I worked in Aurora Public Schools for 15 years as an elementary teacher and elementary principal as well. As noted on this timeline, you can see that HOPE has, over the course of the last 5 years, instituted multiple research-based practices for improvement. Each of these have been implemented and designed based upon previous efforts to improve student achievement. We appreciate several of the grants from CDE that has helped us move forward and continues to help us. As a result, we've been able to put offline curriculum in place to work with our online curriculum, and our professional development has supported staff in implementing this curriculum with full fidelity. In response to our changing population that you just heard about, our Title III monies have been used for staff development on best practices to instruct English language learners. The Title I pilot awarded by the State Board supports literacy, including daily interventions at the elementary level and targeted interventions at the middle school and high school levels. Our Read Ignite grant funds focused on developing pedagogical and content knowledge for staff, as well as coaching techniques to help them to continue to implement the strategies and techniques that they've learned. Douglas County provided us with additional Title II funds to identify and coach mentors and teachers to set up model classrooms and implement professional learning communities. These professional learning communities have focused on developing content knowledge, including math, for our students who are not yet English proficient. This year, HOPE has made significant systemic changes, including restructuring the administration and a redesign of teacher evaluation, supervision, and coaching by HOPE-licensed principals. For the 2016-2017 school year, we've created a plan for reading and general education teachers to be assigned to a single center with content experts providing coaching to both HOPE teachers as well as to mentors. As a result of our changes and efforts, we are seeing positive achievement results. Dibble's Next data shows that HOPE...
Ms. Schaefer, your original 10 minutes is expired.
Okay.
We'll proceed to Aurora at this time. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Distinguished members of the board, my name is Brandon Ayer. I'm the legal counsel for Aurora Public Schools. With me today is Dr. Lisa Escarcega, who until recently was our chief accountability and research officer. I believe starting this week, she has moved to a new position as executive director of CASE, but she has graciously agreed to join me here today to explain more thoroughly the current UIP and assessment portions of the argument. I'm going to defer about 5 minutes of my time later in the argument for her to address those. As a preliminary issue, we were happy in HOPE's reply brief that to see that they had acknowledged that as part of our best interest analysis, APS does have the right to review all relevant information, including academic performance. However, they continue to make an argument that APS has somehow acted in bad faith because we invited them to agree to an extended review of their school or of their centers. You have to realize that at the time that offer was made, we had already received and reviewed all of the information that this board currently has as part of the appeal. That was a substantial amount of information. The exception is, of course, the public comment that was garnered through the public hearing process. When it was made clear to us that HOPE did not want to enter into an extended review to give us a better idea of their current efforts and position, APS had no choice to make a decision based on the record we had before us. That's not bad faith. That was our statutory obligation. Now, the primary issue in this appeal really comes down to what role academic achievement will play in a best interest analysis for a multi-district online school. HOPE's primary argument has been all along that APS was unreasonable because it did not let parent approval trump all other factors in the analysis. Now, APS does appreciate the fact that parent involvement is vital to educational success. Well, that is exactly why we have worked so hard to incorporate it into our own turnaround work. However, it is not the only factor. We have to look at the organizational and academic factors as well. I think our basic concerns can be summed up best in two quotes that come from the May 2015 Mass Insight Report. The first one is found on page 5 of our response brief and states, quote, "The HOPE centers offer parents a safe, nurturing environment that is comfortable for the largely Hispanic immigrant student population. While students and parents are happy to be enrolled in the center and teachers say that they enjoy working in the centers provide the students with low levels of instruction, student engagement, and learning," end quote. The second quote comes from the same report. It's found on page 13 of our response brief. Quote, "While the parents of HOPE students voluntarily enroll their students at HOPE Learning Centers, most are unaware of the low performance and other fiscal and operational implications of HOPE.
Hope's decision to operate a bricks-and-mortar model with virtual school funding has serious consequences for students, end quote. Ultimately, it's this academic piece of the equation that's really at issue here. This is not APS thinking that we should replace parents' decisions or we are better than parents in making decisions, but it is our statutory obligation to look at all relevant facts, not just one of them. As I said before, this really does come down to academic performance. If HOPE, as it implies, that parent consent or enthusiasm trumps all other factors, there's absolutely no doubt that they should win this appeal. However, if academics play a substantial factor in the determination, and we think it does, then those need to be seriously considered before a decision is made. Now, you have the record, and in our brief, we recite numerous educational and administrative deficiencies. These are encapsulated in the multiple school performance frameworks, the state review panel recommendations, the independent analysis, but probably is most succinctly presented again in the May 2015 Mass Insight Report. Specifically, they point out that HOPE has deviated from its unique focus of online learning and operates a traditional classroom-based instructional program with online supports, which is little different from a traditional district school. It does so with unlicensed mentors with little to no educational background, who deliver nearly all Tier 1 instruction. These mentors are not trained to understand what high-level instruction looks like and therefore cannot provide it to the students. Mass Insight points out that the online focus is minimized to a level where they can retain their online funding, but the use of technology is not unique or robust in any way. They note that students are consistently not engaged, and they also note that there are not sufficient resources for special education students to the point that special education students are encouraged not to attend HOPE. Now, APS does applaud HOPE's effort and desire to change to the UIP process. However, we have to assume that HOPE has tried to improve through the UIP process for the past several years and has not seen the growth that we need to see. The current UIP as presented in HOPE's brief focuses on generic language of accountability and improved Tier 1 instruction, which it should be. That should be the focus of all schools. However, we are unaware. What the UIP does not appear to address is its deviation from the online and technological focus to essentially a traditional classroom overseen by mentors who are not properly trained to provide that Tier 1 instruction. Now, HOPE does cite the state review panel recommendations that reference the fact that HOPE does desire to make changes and alludes that they have taken first steps to make those changes. However, what HOPE fails to mention is that that CDE recommendation also states or also recommends that management be turned over to a private or public entity due to the numerous concerns that CDE has. The report recommends that the charter board be replaced because they are unaware of current performance and have failed to set high or clear expectations for the centers. They advise retention of a management entity to ensure consistent implementation of leadership practices and evaluations. And probably most tellingly, they actually recognize that closure of some learning centers should be considered an option of HOPE, even though they do not take the further step of saying that all centers should be closed. To our knowledge, none of these recommendations have been implemented by HOPE. Now, at this point, I want to turn the rest of my time over to Dr. Skarsica to again to address those UIP and current assessment issues.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, thank you. So I was asked to respond to Exhibits 10 and 15. Exhibit 10 talks about actions taken under the UIP's major improvement strategies. 15 provides additional data to consider outside of the school performance framework. Now, in reviewing these documents, I was taken back to about 15 years ago, to a time where districts reviewed select information provided by schools, and the districts provided similar information to the Colorado Department of Ed. It was a subjective and frustrating process that entailed making judgments when presented with information chosen only to show a school or program in its best light. It's what we had for accreditation back then. It was the process that we went through. Now, born from that frustration was the accountability movement, where a core of information could be gathered and used for the purpose of judging a school's performance and improvement. While our state framework may be flawed on several levels, it does provide an objective process for decision-making, particularly if it's paired with a comprehensive audit or review of the school program. Now, using the SPF and the 5 years of SPF and the turnaround network review completed on Hope Online Elementary and Middle School, we reviewed Exhibit 10. The level of performance and the lack of growth over the past 5 years should compel the schools to implement strategies of a magnitude to create significant change, like those that were recommended in that turnaround network report, the ones that Mr. Ayer just listed for you. What we saw in Exhibit 10 was a list of practices that typically result in only incremental change. We did not see actions in the magnitude of change expected and needed for turnaround. In Exhibit 15, it starts with a description of the intended model of the school, and then it moves into perception data with results similar to many schools' data that we have reviewed. It is the achievement data presented that I'm going to tie back to my opening comment. The reason for the school performance frameworks is to provide a core, although not complete, but a core part of information that can be used to judge a school's performance and growth. There is little evidence from the select grades, subjects, and tests presented in Exhibit 15 that suggest the state assessment results from the spring of 2016 will be significantly different than the past 5 years, or that will end up with the school receiving an improvement rating or better. We also did not assess this presented data as sufficient for an appeal of the next accreditation rating. Thus, we predict the elementary and middle school of Hope Online will move into year 6 of turnaround. We do not see how this can be in the best interest of students and their parents.
Thank you. Doctor Samaria, you have 5 minutes now for rebuttal.
APS's, can you hear me? APS's response ignores current data and the changes made since Mass Insight report that is driving the current data. And because these two pieces of information are so important, I'm going to defer the rest of my time to go back to Dr. Philbin and Ms. Shaver to explain to you why this matters and why we are seeing changes since the Mass Insight report on which they rely.
Thank you. I do want to make sure that everybody understands that we've done quite a bit of work this past year and the previous year to ensure that we were addressing the concerns, and we agreed with the Mass Insight report. We actually had those strategies already in our UIP that we were addressing. I think it's important to note that if you look at the slide up above here, that in looking at the grades K through 3 reading assessments, that our HOPE centers, based on these are two different assessments, obviously, but we perform higher than what you see with the Aurora in terms of the students that are identified at grade level. And we have also shown in the last 2 years that we are well above average growth on the use of the DIBELS. And I think that we appreciate the fact that we got the ELAT tool project and that we also got the READ Ignite grant. We believe that that's really helped support this as well. The other thing that I think it's important to note is that, can you move that forward, is that in the past 5 years, it's taken us that long to implement a complete online and offline curriculum. National research shows it takes at least 3 years to develop one that is completely aligned, especially since we have new state standards. We can't keep going back to the old data. We have to move forward and look at the new one. And we laid in a complete and comprehensive formative assessment system to be able to determine, are our students making gains? In these particular slides, what you see is the English language arts results that we had from our acuity assessment results. And in the next slide, what you see is the math results. And they are all showing gains from the spring in 2015 to the spring of 2016. Now, whether you take the cut point of 40% of points, which is approaching, or 50% of points, which is grade level band proficiency according to acuity, we made significant gains that we can show statistically on those particular areas. And again, I would say that it's important to note that research shows it takes more than 2 years typically to see impact when you begin to implement a new curriculum. We did that in response to our changing population that we had. So you can please refer to the rest of your slides for the changes that you see in the Aurora Learning Centers. They made significant gains as well.
My name is Michael Bautista, and I'm the chair of the Board of Directors for HOPE. And I'd like to read a statement from Douglas County School District. On behalf of the Douglas County School District, we support HOPE's appeal and respectfully request that HOPE's request of relief of the MOU be granted. DCSD has long been a strong proponent of supporting the ability of parents and students to find the learning environment that best meets the unique needs of the individual student. As HOPE's authorizer, at the request of the state review panel, DCSD analyzed the various options available to the state board and of the five-year accountability clock. Like the SRP, DCSD concluded that closure of HOPE is not a reasonable option for HOPE students and their families. DCSD submits that closure of HOPE Learning Centers and APS is not an option either. HOPE has made and continues to make necessary changes designed to increase academic performance of the students it serves, including those in APS. DCSD has been an active partner with HOPE in these changes. Following the state review panel's research and recommendations, DCSD worked with HOPE as it developed and implemented changes in its curriculum, attendance accountability assessments, professional development, and staffing structure. DCSD, a district that has received CDE's highest rating of accredited with distinction, fully acknowledges that HOPE is not yet operating at the performance level and that all Colorado students should have access to quality educational programs so that each student demonstrates academic gain. And even with DCSD's high-performing schools, DCSD constantly analyzes what additional changes can be made to further increase student development. But as HOPE pointed out in its brief, the data shows that the changes made by HOPE are making a difference. DCSD takes its role as HOPE's authorizer very seriously and is fully committed to supporting HOPE in its mission to provide a quality academic alternative to families in Colorado. While there is more work to be done, the emerging data shows students are making academic gains. For these reasons, DCSD supports HOPE appeal and its request that an MOU with APS be granted. Okay.
10 seconds left. We're done.
You're done. Okay. Yes, Mr. Ayer, you have 5 minutes.
We didn't reserve any time for rebuttal.
Oh, you?
No.
Yeah, we cut you off at 10 minutes.
Is that the 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So if you... You have 5 minutes if you care to utilize it.
We spoke faster than we thought.
There we go. Part of the review, when we look at the data and you keep hearing about the data showing growth, the part that is missing and was missing for us in that analysis is a comparison to what? I can have students growing a half of a year every single year and tell you it's a statistically significant growth for students. But that is not the growth that we want, the year's growth, compared to other students. So you're going to, it's outlined several in several areas of the brief where it says students are making gains. The question is, are they making significant enough gains that this school will be able to demonstrate improvement in their accreditation rating? The data that they have provided does not provide that direct evidence that says they expect to increase to an approaching or to a meets on their growth based on their assessment results. The assessment companies that they note in there, either whether it be the Dibbles or Acuity, those companies do not claim to be predictors of the state assessment, nor do they have growth models that equate to the state assessment. Therefore, in part of our summary was the fact that, yes, students can make growth. Are they making adequate enough growth? And our determination at this point was no, the evidence was not clear that they are going to receive anything but a turnaround 6 years in. And at that point, for the Aurora Public Schools, that does not make sense for us to hold on to a center year six of turnaround. Thank you.
Okay. All right, that concludes the public part of the hearing. We'll move to board discussions. Why don't we start with a motion? Ms. Rankin, do you have a motion, please?
I move to reverse the decision of the local Board of Education on the ground that it is in the best interests of the pupils, parents, I've got that in there, school district or community, and to enter into an MOU with Hope Online, and direct the local board to enter into an MOU with Hope within 30 days of today's date.
Is there a second to that motion? There's a second, Ms. Masnick. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion from the board.
Can we go down the line or what?
Yeah, maybe that would be a good way to do it. Yes. Dr. Shovel, you're thinking, okay, you want to skip? Ms. Masnick, do you want to start?
But we're not asking questions.
Right. If we do, we're going to have to go back and forth, so okay. Keep in mind the time we have.
I can start. This is good. Economically and academically challenged students have a lot of barriers, and our schools across the state are trying to meet the challenges of bringing those children to, you know, catching them up and getting them to grade level. Sorry, we have new microphones and they see how well they
look. We can hear you.
I think she's trying to put
they don't fit.
Cord.
Honestly. Okay. I think schools across the state are dealing with many students facing these challenges. I think APS is dealing with a lot of those challenges, and I think their performance ratings reflect the challenges of students who are not able at this point in time to do well on standardized tests, which is a lot of what our performance ratings are based on. I don't think that those performance ratings of any school necessarily reflect the hard work and achievement happening in those schools. APS has a significant number of these students. Hope has almost exclusively these kinds of students. And the fact that a school like Hope might have a poor performance rating, I think pales in comparison when you have a parent of a child who doesn't want to go to school because they don't feel safe, or they've been bullied, or they feel lost. So we have to give these parents options. They have to have an option. And at this point in time, I cannot in good conscience close the door to this option for these students. And I hope that Hope and APS both are able to move the needle forward in providing academic success for these kids. But I cannot close the door for options for these kids right now.
Sorry, we just don't allow public demonstrations. Dr. Flores.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
May Joyce reread the motion one more time? There was one other piece missing.
Oh, okay.
I move to reverse the decision of the local Board of Education on the ground that it was not contrary to the best interests of the pupils, parents, school district, or community, and to enter into an MOU with Hope Online and direct the local board to enter into an MOU with Hope within 30 days of today's date.
Did you second it?
I did.
Still moved and seconded. Yes.
Is that the right language? Not contrary.
It didn't sound right to me either.
It didn't sound right to me either.
I think it's the wrong language myself.
Yeah.
Not contrary.
It is contrary.
On further review, I think you're right.
Thank you.
That's unfortunately, why if you're reversing them, I think we're in a double negative situation in terms of
right.
the statutory language.
So we should read that it is contrary, am I correct?
It is.
Do you want to reread that then, or to clear what we're
voting on?
Excuse me,
could I have the latest version?
Oh,
I now move to reverse the decision of the local Board of Education on the ground that it was contrary to the best interests of the parents, pupils, parents, school district, or community, and to enter into an MOU with Hope Online and direct the local board to enter into an MOU with Hope within 30 days of today's date.
Is second still apply, Ms. Mesnick?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Good. All right, Dr. Flores.
Also, I think that it takes much longer than the 5 years to get any results, especially with hard-to-serve schools. And I think the research shows that it should be possibly even as long as 10 years. And, you know, I've said this before, that we just can't uproot students back and forth. And it seems as if when I visited the center, it seemed that the families and the people there were, were wanting to and liking the center. I did see a couple of teachers who did say that they were certified. We did have a discussion, over Dibbles and, even if it's in Spanish, I'm not a great believer in Dibbles. I think the DRA is probably a better test. And I know that the state doesn't go along with that, but they did use DRA as well. So I really do think that we need to give Hope some more time. And we should not close Hope at this point, at this time, given the number. I read a lot of those letters that were sent in for Hope, in support of Hope. And I think we need to take those into account. So I...
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Flores. Ms. Rankin, would you like to be next?
Yes, I have a letter from CDE from April 22nd, and it was, I believe, presented at the June meeting when Dr. Skarsica came before us with the Superintendent Munn, and we discussed the future of Aurora Public Schools and the advances and changes that are going to be made there. When I look at that and the transition, I'm not quite sure students that are very comfortable where they are would do well in further transition. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, what is the alternative for these students? I believe where they are right now is the best alternative for them. And taking all of that into consideration. Thank you.
Ms. Goff?
Somewhat of a follow-up to what Joyce just said. I tend to agree. At the same time, part of follow-up and avoidance of unnecessary transitioning involves having the same people stay in the same place over time. I find it disturbing, troubling, and maybe certainly for families, but also for the school's planning purposes. If the attendance is not steady, if there is not a group that consistently is there to learn, I find it would be very difficult to measure, to use your measurements to a way that is satisfactory to those who say we don't know enough of how do we base this learning on. Is it occurring or not? That is an offshoot effect often of families who are moving quite a bit and who may have other choices to make on a not necessarily long-term notice. But if there is a way for the MOU to be worked out that addresses that and then have good learning measures available as the result of addressing that issue, that's where I am today. I totally... respect, admire, have for a long time. what HOPE has always attempted to do and speak to and address. But we get down to the facts at this level, and the fact is, if kids aren't there, they can't be taught. I just find that to be maybe your focus with this. I do agree that the memo deserves to be extended. I would leave it up to you all to figure out what the term of that is, whether how many years that involves, whether it lines up with UIP planning or a standard 3 and/or 5 year term of contracts and so on. But I do want success for these kids and these families, and I do think this is a good chance for them with some a little bit closer eye to the guidance about what leads up to that. And that's where I am.
Thank you, Ms. Goff. No? Okay. Yes. Dr. Schroeder?
A couple of things. I'm pretty concerned about who's responsible for what here. I am pleased that there's such strong parent engagement. I think that's an important measure. It's one that I think all school boards need to be observing and listening to. But the fact that parents are comfortable there and kids are comfortable there means to me also that there's a high level of trust that somebody is making sure that this is also a highly academic program. I'm trying to figure out, is that our job right here at the table? Are we responsible to ensure that this is, in addition to being a welcoming community, that kids are also learning what they need to learn? Is it the responsibility of the Aurora School Board? Because the citizens of Aurora, parents and many, many non-parents, have elected those folks to ensure that Aurora children get the best education possible. Is it the responsibility of the Douglas County School Board? So I'm not really sure. We probably have some kind of joint responsibility, which is why you all are here. But I think it's very, very important, and I don't think we should ignore it. So just because parents feel great there tells me that those parents are trusting some of us to ensure the academics as well as the comfort level. So that causes me to want to ensure that there's some significant improvement for kids. I appreciate the fact that the HOPE organization is looking at the evaluations they're getting and attempting to make some changes. And they really have not had enough time to implement those. So at the same time, I want to give kudos to the Aurora Board for saying, we're just not going to automatically renew this because the kids are not thriving. And I think we should recognize that maybe this is the first school district that's actually said, hey, let's look at what's happening for the kids. I'm a little worried that that's what's happening, but I think it sets a very good precedent. But how we move forward with that is a challenge. There really was not enough time, based on the schedule that's been shared with us, for there to be a thoughtful conversation and a really objective evaluation. So the timing was, I think, a little bit weak. The other thing that I'm seeing here, and I've observed in some of the items that I've been reading in the briefs, is the fact that we're kind of mixing up the turnaround issues with this particular appeal. It is still going to be the responsibility of this board to look at the turnaround schools. And that's kind of something that you all got into for this, but that's not quite the right time. So who knows what's going to be the recommendation for HOPE, given that it's got some turnaround schools. I worry that we're mixing them up, which is why I will support this motion, because I don't think we're doing that turnaround work right now. Who knows how that will come out. The final thing that I have a concern, well, I have lots of concerns, but the final thing that I have a concern about is this MOU, because I just was given a brief standard MOU, and it doesn't say very much. It doesn't say how long, and it doesn't talk about some of the modifications, et cetera. I think, Ms. O'Mara, you said that with your different districts, you've had some specific provisions. Now I'm not sure how to send you all off to work for Hope to work with Aurora without some direction from us as to what some of the things ought to be in that MOU, in particular the time span. For charters, this is to Mr. Dale, for charters, when we've made a decision to remand back to the school district, we've also had some direction from the board members of some specific items that we want to see. I don't know if we have that option as a board. Or have you all duke it out? I mean, this is new to us. We haven't done this very much. So is this a matter of policy that we decide to set, that in fact there's some direction from the board? Or are we just, do we just throw it back to the two groups and have them come to some agreement? And if nothing is, if something is unsatisfactory, they come back to us yet again. Tony?
Mr. Chair, the statute and regulations state that they will enter into a memorandum of understanding using the standard MOU form.
There's nothing in it.
And that's all they say. So I think you have to use that form. The statute, in addition, says that the term shall be 3 years. Although I suspect that the parties could mutually agree on changes to that form, I don't think, based on some of the law that's been developed under the charter school cases, that you could direct specific provisions that go beyond whatever is in the standard MOU.
I'm sorry, do you repeat that last, Mr. Dillon?
I don't believe that the State Board could direct that there be specific provisions that be inserted into the standard MOU. The statute and regs say it will be the standard MOU. I do, however, believe that the parties could voluntarily agree to alter those terms. However, I believe that should you remand it, Hope Online would be entitled to rely on the provisions of the standard MOU.
How come a standard MOU doesn't even have a timeline in it? Or did I misread that?
Dr. Antis.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I was just reading the standard MOU, and Mr. Dill, on number 12 on the standard MOU, does discuss the State Board of Education action may revise, vacate, enhance, or extend the terms. Is that something you could clarify for us?
Let me take a look. Well, that's interesting. I did not realize that was in the standard MOU form. This is the standard MOU.
Okay. All right. It perhaps gives us some flexibility.
Yes, it states
would
action
you,
taken by the
Dr.
college.
Dr. Schroeder, care to propose a 3-year term as a modification to that standard agreement?
Yes. No more than a 3-year term.
So you would offer that as an amendment to Ms. Rankin's motion to the term be for 3 years?
I don't like that for...
Well, actually, that's in the law.
The
3 years?
I thought Tony just said that's part of
it. I think that's in the charter school.
But I don't like your 3-year limit is what I'm saying.
Perhaps for the sake of clarity, we should...
Is the standard 3? The standard isn't 3-year. It's determinant, right?
Let's
just wait and see.
Commissioner Antis, do you have a comment?
I believe Mr. Dill was saying that in this particular law, the MOU was for a 3-year
review. I didn't catch that. I'm sorry. Well,
in this law, it's for 3 years, or it's in the charter law?
No, it's
in statute for this particular law. Yes.
The statute in question is 2230.7111, paren 2. Which says that the memorandum of understanding entered into by the school district and the multi-district online school pursuant to provision of the section shall be effective for 3 years.
Okay,
if it's in statute,
but it certainly couldn't be less. So, all right. Yes.
I'd like to add something.
Dr. Flores?
If it is a blended learning program and it is 6.5 hours, I would like to suggest that art and music and physical education, and I know the center that I went to observe that was going on, and I think it's so important for kids that they have, you know, these plastic and performing arts as well as sports, and I suggest that, you know, this would really round out a curriculum.
All right, yes. Dr. Sheffield.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I appreciate all the parents and teachers and students that have come today. Really appreciate the due diligence of Aurora as well as the responsiveness of Hope. And as looking at the data, I feel like things are moving in a good direction, particularly your early literacy data does show some very encouraging scores. So I appreciate all the work that you do and just wanted to say thank you to everybody for this great discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll close then as chair. I spent the first 9 years of my private employment life as a general manager of a facility that served about 250,000 people a year. Not all of those customers were happy. I think when you have 250,000, the odds are against you of keeping them all happy. I learned early on in that 9 years that the smartest thing I could do when I had a dissatisfied customer was to refund their money and send them on their way. There were two reasons for that. One, that customer's dissatisfaction, I did everything at least I could to appease it and at least perhaps turn that customer into someone who would not have a lot of negative things to say about the facility. Secondly, it allowed me to spend the rest of my time trying to improve the service to those customers that were happy. And every time I see a school district that has customers who are obviously unhappy and want to leave, I think the energy that you spend in trying to make them stay with you is ill-spent, and it's not in the best interest of the people who want to leave, and it's certainly not in the best interest of the people who want to stay, who would be better served by that time, effort, energy, and money being spent in improving their service. I don't think there's any significant difference between the business of education and any other private business in how you deal with dissatisfied customers. You're better off letting them seek satisfaction elsewhere. So I intend to vote for the motion. Ms. Bertzel, would you call the roll?
Board Member Flores.
Aye.
Board Member Goff.
Aye.
Board Member Mazanek.
Aye.
Board Member Rankin.
Aye.
Board Member Sheffel.
Yes.
Board Member Schroeder.
Yes.
And Chairman Durham.
Yes. That motion is adopted on a vote of 7-0. Thank you very much. And hope that the parties will work cooperatively to work out what remaining differences that you have. Okay. All right. Okay, why don't we take about a 10-minute recess, and we'll reconvene. We have a couple of items left on the agenda.
Thank you. Thank you.